Live from Constellation Field for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We are indeed broadcasting live from Constellation Field in Sugarland. We go straight out to the HR&P guest line to bring in Cougar great, Astro great, Nimitz Cougar great, Michael Bourne. Michael, thank you for taking a few minutes to hang out with us this afternoon. Astros have climbed up to 500 again. I mean, they're 40-40. They have a chance with a win tomorrow to be above 500 at the halfway point of the year, which seems crazy if we were having this discussion 3 weeks ago. What do you think has been the biggest reason for the turnaround?
There's only one thing, and that's starting pitching. I should say two things, timely hitting as well, but starting pitching has led the way. Over the last nine starts, they've been unbelievable. Hunter Brown is emerging as a great pitcher for their rotation. He made the most starts out of all the starters, and I think Eric Gaddy piggybacked off of him yesterday, and they look good, man. I mean, what can you say? Even though they played Colorado, they took care of business. They swept Baltimore. So to me, they have a big series coming up against the Mets because the Mets have been playing as equally as good in the NL. So they just hit four home runs off of Gerrit Cole, scored, I think, 11 or 12 runs yesterday. So this won't be an easy task for the Astros.
Well, Michael, we mentioned getting back to 500, but we know they got to keep the pedal down because there's a lot more work to get done. But you've seen, like you mentioned, there was never a correlation between the offense being hot at the same time the pitching's being good. Now it seems like everything's clicking. We're getting closer by the end of July to the trade deadline. If you look at this team right now, what does this team still need? What do you think that they should be exploring and looking at in terms of adding before the deadline?
I mean, me personally, this is just me throwing something out there crazy, but I mean, to me, you have to have stars to win. Now, you have to have other people, but I would love for them to go after Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I haven't done a lot of research on him, but I know the Blue Jays have talked about trading him and Bo Bichette. I also know that they have a year and a half of control over him, I think, if I'm not mistaken, because he won't be a free agent after the 2025 season. So, to me, he's a big stellar. I know they were looking for production at first base. I like Singleton. You know, unfortunately, it didn't work out with a Jose Abreu, but Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is, you know, that would be another piece in that lineup to take that lineup to the top. And plus, you put him in that lineup, and he's going to get contagious of the hitting and the way they're playing. And, you know, he knows the history of the Astros and what they've been through. And I think that would be I know it's a hard piece to get, but that's just somebody I would want to go after.
Yeah, I mean, you have a top five that'd be dreamy there. I mean, however you want to scatter them around and set up the lineup, you know, Altuve, Bregman, Yordan, Tucker, Vladdy, maybe in the middle of the two lefties. Certainly a dreamy one through five. The question becomes now, like, okay, if you're going to be that bold and that aggressive and going after a good bat, a really good bat, how much can this farm system and organization take? You know what I mean? Like, how much can this minor league system that has been depleted, how can Dana Brown reach into it again and then, you know, sell that to ownership once more?
Yes, that's the hardest part about it. You have to come up with a package that the Toronto Blue Jays are going to be able to, you know, think, well, we'll like, even though, you know, we traded our two former first-round picks last year to get Verlander, so you don't have a lot, but I like. And I mean, I like Joey Loprofito, but if I have to, I have to include him in the trade if I'm going to get somebody like Vladimir. Think about getting somebody like Vladimir. You have to give up something to get something. So that's one of those things where you're going to probably have to give up him and probably have to give up one of your top pitchers at least to start the conversation. So for me, I would do it just because they're in the win now mode and they've started to go in the right direction, so I'm going to try to get what I can if I could to get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And I know I'm just throwing something out there, but that's somebody that I think that will bring excitement to the Astros. He's been stellar over the past few years. He's actually having a pretty good year now. He started out slow, but I think he's up to around 286 hitting-wise, got 10 home runs. I just think he'll be a big piece to a lineup that's, you know, also struggled at the beginning, but he would just, you know, add another piece that you could just definitely be excited about watching in the Astro uniform.
Michael, I'm curious, with all your years playing, we've talked about it on the show, but as an ex-player, I'm just curious your opinion. The players know what's out there every day, and they know that sometimes the best lineups aren't being put out there, or that maybe upper management is pushing for guys when the players in the locker room desire the best lineup every single day. Abreu, since he's been gone, this team got red hot. And it seems like that the clubhouse and the whole attitude and the momentum that they've built now is at an all-time high. Is there a correlation there?
I don't think so. I think Jose Abreu actually was very well respected in the clubhouse from what I know. A lot of people looked up to him. It was just a marriage that just happened not to work. You know, you wanted him to produce more, but it just didn't happen over the year and a half. Now, last year he did have 90 RBIs. In the last 2 months, he did get hot. There's no doubt about that. And this year he just struggled, and that happens. I heard he put in a lot of work. It was his idea to actually go down to Florida. So I think that he actually, you know, was no correlation. I think that's hard for some of the players in there to say their goodbyes because they know the time that they put in. They know the time that he put in and the work that he put in. And I actually think that he had an unbelievable career. Like I said this before, everybody goes over the hill at some point. You don't know when. Some people have a gracefully fall. Some people it just happens out of nowhere. But I have no knock on Jose Abreu because I watched him over the years. I played against him in Chicago, playing with Cleveland. This man, I had an unbelievable career. You know, it just didn't work out in Houston. But when he was in a White Sox uniform, I think he had over 4 years or 5 years over 100 RBIs, four-time All-Star, 3 years over 30 home runs. So it's just one of those things. When he got over here, it was his first time ever being on another team in the big leagues, which is tough to do at first, just to get used to how every organization is ran different. So he had to get used to how Houston was ran. But, you know, at the end of the day, it just didn't work out. You know, he didn't produce like he wanted to produce. Pretty sure he wished he could have did more. But I'm not going to knock him because I know the respect that he earned, and I know the respect that was given to him around the league.
How about this offense, though? Michael Bourne joining us on the HRMP guest line, kind of settling into who they are now, whether it's Dubon, Singleton kind of platooning at first, although Dubon's kind of, I wouldn't say he's running away with that job, but he's certainly been producing well. Loperfido's been added to the mix. Chaz is playing some more as of late at that two-home run game on Saturday and still waiting for Kyle Tucker to get back. But it's starting to feel like this offense is starting to settle in. It's been an offense that has been right there at the top in average, right there at the top at slugging, maybe not runs per game, but now those runs are starting to catch up with the rest of the peripheral numbers.
Yes, they have been playing great baseball, and I think the key to that is really just hitting with runners in scoring position. I think the first game against Baltimore, they were 7-for-14 with runners in scoring position. All over in that series, they were 11-for-31 with runners in scoring position. I think the more you do that, the more you hit with people on second and third base, and you get those runs in, and not just by the home run ball. Last game, Bregman, the first game against Colorado, Bregman got it started with a hit up the middle, pretty much to drive two runs in. That's the kind of thing that gets you going. It's not always the home run ball. It's hitting with runners in scoring position, getting the sack flies, moving the runners over, passing the baton as a team to the next person. That is what they're doing best to me. And as long as they keep doing that and pitching like they're pitching, they're a tough team to beat. So I really look forward to this Mets series, man. I think the Mets are playing great baseball, so it's a good test for them. They swept Baltimore, who to me is the best all-around team in baseball right now. But anybody can get beat on any given day in baseball. And the Astros did that 3 games in a row to Baltimore. So I'm very intrigued by this series against the Mets. You know, I know we'll have Blanco and Framber going in this series, so we'll see what happens.
Michael, what did you see in Arrigetti that was different? Because it was night and day from his second-to-last start and his last start. It seemed, just looking at it, from my perspective, he was aggressive, pounding the strike zone. He had control, but he seemed, he was also velo was up, and he seemed like he was hyper-aggressive to kind of throw strikes and attack the plate.
You couldn't have said it better. The first thing I seen was him attacking the fastball, and I actually covered that game, and one of my pregame keys to the game was him actually getting the rhythm and attacking from the first couple innings, which I think he did off the top. And I think, as a young pitcher coming up in this generation, he even said it himself, he kind of got caught up in the data and what certain teams couldn't hit or what certain players couldn't hit. And he was trying to attack them in that way. And not knowing in the big leagues, those players that can't hit that, they know they can't hit that or they haven't been hitting it. So guess what? They're going to be looking for that. And you're trying to adjust to the hitters instead of going with your strength. And I think yesterday he went with his strength. And when he went with his strength, he felt much better, and he attacked with that fastball. And I mean, I think he only had 2 runners in score position all game. I think he was like through 71 pitches through 5 innings. And one thing I noticed was when one was in score position, he kind of went different. He went changeup, curveball, I think against, I forget the name, of the left fielder for the Colorado Rockies, and that got him out the inning. When he had been attacking with the fastball the whole time, so that hitter wasn't ready to see that curveball, changeup, curveball, combination because he had been throwing fastballs the whole time. There's a three-pitch. It literally was a three-pitch at bat, and he struck him out. So that tells you the adjustment that he made and how he was kind of adjusting to hitter on what he wanted to do. Not trying to, you know, when you're trying to go from hitter to hitter and you're trying to figure out what he can't hit and what he can't do and I'm going to see if I can pitch him this way, then that's a lot of adjusting back and forth. And you're normally going to go away from your strength by doing that. And being a young pitcher, that's not the formula for you. And I think that's the same thing that Hunter Brown started finding success in. Do what I'm good at or do what I feel is right on that day.
Yeah, they've looked different. Arrighetti looked different than the Spencer Arrighetti we've seen prior to that start yesterday. I think you're honest. I think it's confidence. I think it's that moxie. Michael, thanks so much for taking a few minutes, hanging out with us, providing us with the insight. Always appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Enjoy that Mets series.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I hope the Astros is coming on top of that one.
All right, Michael Bourne, Houston Astro, former Houston Cougar. I'm not a former Houston Cougar. Once a Cougar, always a Cougar. Also Nimitz Cougar, high school grad, joining us on the HRNP guest line.